everybody, and welcome to Radio Radar, episode 106. I'm your host, Henry Gilbert of Games Radar's Super-Duper Podcast, and I'm here with...
Ryan Teljnik.
Lorenzo Valoria.
Lucas Sullivan.
And Ashley Reed.
Ooh, boy. You know, I'm trying not to... I feel like I'm starting every podcast by saying, what a week, but seriously, what a week, guys.
Yes.
I mean, boy, oh boy, it seems like every week is busier than the last, but...
That wasn't supposed to be the case in what we thought would be the easiest months of the year.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
So, boy, how's October going to be?
Oh, my God.
I think it's going to be really easy.
Yeah, that's worrying almost all of us at this desk. We'll get to that later, but first, it's time for the top seven of this week, I believe, written by one Mr. Ryan Teljnik.
Yes, the top seven fallen heroes that became awesome villains.
This was a fun list to do. We had to make it up. We had a little talk around.
Did not make the cut.
Yeah, we had quite the discussion
you know
around this one.
Let me tell you who number eight should have been was Mario from Donkey Kong Jr. because he is way more interesting when he becomes a bad guy because he actually has a personality. And that personality is a cruel man who wants to murder a baby ape and whip an ape in a cage.
What a personality.
Woo!
Jeez, it's pouring out of his ears. I can hardly handle it.
He's layered.
Exactly. An onion.
Well, you know, looking at the top seven now on my telefono, I notice that I at some point in the recent week, the article on the back end on our website got fucked up because there's no first slide. It's just jumps right into number seven.
No.
There should have been a video on that first slide.
No riffraff.
Is it a case of the disappearing video slide again?
Oh, it must be.
Boy.
Well, I hope you guys have been enjoying those top seven videos. We've been... They're really difficult to put together in that...
So you'll never see them again.
They're very time-consuming.
Yes.
We all spent, like... You know, whether or not you believe this, based on whether or not you think we ramble or have meaningful things to say, we do spend about an entire day's worth of time prepping for those. Mm-hmm. And then our video team takes 4 days to cut them together because it's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff to put in a video. But we've been having a lot of fun with those.
And so, we sure have.
Please let us know in the comments, too, because I'm just genuinely curious if you like those videos.
Or if you think they can go scratch.
Yeah. So, anyways.
A nice way to put it.
Don't know why that's appearing, but let's jump into the top seven because it's late in the day, and I know everybody wants to get home and play some Destiny.
Well, I'll play Except Destiny
Henry.
As well.
Except Henry, who will...
What was
just,
the holdup?
I don't know.
Wait, Henry, are you PS4 or you Xbox One?
I am PS4. My holdup has been getting home and being exhausted.
No one got time for that.
That gets in the way of playing video games sometimes.
You know what my holdup has been? Not being able to go home.
Why don't you cry us a river, Ashley?
Look, we'll talk about all that later.
Find yourself a home.
All right. We got to get into the top seven.
Top seven. Number seven.
Gabriel Belmont from Castlevania Lords of Shadow.
Gabriella.
Now, he's a little bit of a technical. Here, like, I'm sort of cheating because he's really only a villain in that 3DS game that was pretty much balls. Or did you like it, Lucas? You did all right, like,
it's not
Mirror
great.
Of
it's
Fate.
Not great.
But Gabriel Belmont, as you know in the original Lords of Shadow, turns into Dracula at the very end. Sorry, I should have said spoiler alert first.
Yeah,
gosh dang it, Ryan.
Like, that was 4 years ago.
Yeah, but it's still a really good game. You should play it.
It's
the first one.
No,
it doesn't hold up at all.
Oh, okay. Well,
I'd call
I like it.
It's really long. Eight.
Yeah, it takes
it's really
forever
long.
To be one
All right.
level.
Anyway, so Gabriel Belmont, right? He's a very, very devout, a man of the cloth that just happens to be really good at hitting things to death with a metal whip. Anyways, so in the original Lords of Shadow, right, he's a member of whatever that brotherhood is, the Crusaders of God or whatever
light.
They call themselves. Yeah,
Brothers of Light.
I don't know. Anyways, he meets a stranger, and the stranger's like, you know what would make God real happy? If you go around kill these Lords of Shadow bad guys and then steal their devil powers and use them yourself. He's like, okay. And then he does that.
What a dope.
What a goofball. What a rube.
Not even a little genre savvy.
So anyways, he does this, and he's fine. He's a fine character, but then he turns into Dracula. And becomes way more badass. Now, there's still not much there in terms of personality, but he has at least way cooler powers, and he does kill his own son, not knowing it's his own son, and turns him into Alucard. Pretty cool.
Does he not know? I feel like...
He finds out after he kills him, which is why he then, in his grief, cuts open his wrists and sprays his blood all over his dead son's face. Which, as I say that,
that sounds way worse.
That is
so dirty.
Grief does a lot. So gross. Grief does weird things to all of us.
I feel like that may be a step too far, but who knows? So that's Gabriel Belmont. Number six. Henry, you want to give
us six.
There we go. Beautiful. Kazuya from Tekken.
Kazuya Mishima, the son of Heihachi, who in the first game looks to just be another of the, oh, I'm like Ryu. I'm Ryu also. Just like, I have red gloves. I have white pants. I'm Ryu.
Yeah. So he's just a straight up boring cookie cutter.
Seemingly. But
and then.
By the, they have hints of it in the first one, but by the second one, the second one begins after he has seemingly killed Heihachi and taken over his company and is actually way more evil than Heihachi was. And then it's like set up that he got the power to beat Heihachi by selling his soul to the devil. Then
why did he
devil.
Do that, though?
Well, to get strong, right?
Well, because no, because he got thrown off a fucking mountain cliff by his asshole father at the age of, what, like 10?
Yes. Yeah.
And don't forget that when after he threw his son off the cliff, he's like, you know what? If you manage to make it up, I'm going to adopt this other son to make you jealous.
Well, it's just like, it's like when my dad is so disappointed in me at baseball, he throws me off a cliff. And then he says, if you're a real man, you'll climb back up that cliff.
You'll survive.
And Kazuya, he would have climbed back up the cliff, but it really fucking hurt and probably broke most of his bones. So what he did instead was made a deal with the devil to get the devil gene, and he said, thanks, devil. Now I can finally beat up my rude
dad. At 10 years old, he was like, devil, take my soul.
And as Henry says, grief does weird things to us all.
This is the most metal 10-year-old ever.
And then the sins of the father repeat themselves, where then Jin, his son, comes back and beats him up.
Yeah.
And then he becomes evil also, but not as evil as Kazuya. Like, they both just kind of run their own Mishima fighting against each other. Or no, their own Zaibatsu. That's the name of the company. It's the Mishima Zaibatsu company.
Okay.
Anyway, but then the last thing about Kazuya is that once he comes back, like, they mega kill him. They drop him in. They melt his body. Into the lava, melt his body down to bones. Like, no, he's dead. Got two, Tekken 4, he's back. But when he comes back, he's like, yeah, I'm in control of the devil gene, but I want to keep it. It makes me strong. I like it.
So
yeah.
He becomes this really badass human-demon hybrid. Yeah. Or devil hybrid. Mm. And he just looks really cool. And is thus a much better villain than he was a cookie-cutter.
He never smiles anymore.
Yeah.
He never smiled at all.
Not all right.
He has an evil grin sometimes.
Yeah, evil smiles. Yeah. That's still a
smile. Number five.
Sarah Kerrigan from StarCraft.
Kerrigan.
Skarrigan. No, I mean, she was actually really cool before she was a villain. Mm-hmm. She was a ghost, so she was like basically the Master Chief of the StarCraft universe. She was abducted as a kid, forced into training into becoming a super soldier.
Got to hone them psychic powers.
Man, Bungie really ripped off StarCraft.
I mean,
both of which ripped off Ender's Game. So
let's be real. It all just ripped off Frankenstein
Warhammer.
Not at the same time.
Anyways, 40K. We're getting too far off track here.
Sarah Kerrigan
was a really cool ghost, and she was very capable, obviously, with her mind bullets and real bullets.
Yeah.
And then she got abducted.
She went from blonde to the
like snake
dreads,
hair,
yeah.
Basically.
Snake dreads.
Then she got captured by the Zerg and was put in a chrysalis, and the Zerg Overmind at the time was like, I'm going to warp her into a really cool monster. And that'll be great. And he does that.
Great.
Unfortunately, Overmind is destroyed by the Protoss.
He got more than he bargained for.
And Sarah Kerrigan's like, I guess I'll control the Zerg myself from now on. So she becomes the Queen of Blades, who, just look at a picture of her, looks badass.
Shake them dreads.
You know, I wonder, she's got like a bunch of stabby things as hair. I wonder if she could just straight up murder you with her hair.
It's like Medusa.
Probably.
Just shake those dreads and like slice you up.
It's like,
open, man.
You know what, I don't know why I'm envisioning this, but I imagine her hair. You know, if you go through a car wash and it's one where you're on the auto tracks,
and
it's pulling you through and those blue flap things come down and flop all over your car. If it were her hair instead of those, it would probably cut you up like a bunch
of little
razor
bits. Yeah.
destroy the car.
Cheese grater.
Yeah, she got a. I think she got a pretty sweet deal out of the whole thing. It turned out well for her.
Yeah, I mean, she becomes a good guy again for a second, and then it's like
2 minutes.
I actually liked being the Queen of Blades. I'm gonna go back to that. K, thanks.
Humans are tools. Yeah. I'm gonna go.
Has the third suck. Of those games
no,
come
no,
out?
Not yet, not okay. yet. That one's probably
Legacy
a 20.
Of the boy.
You think that's gonna be 2016 or 2017?
2016 would. Make
I think
sense
end
to
of
me.
16. 2016, we'll probably
it's
see
really
the
hard
third.
To keep track of all those yeah. Blizzard games.
They like to take their sweet time.
Well, after two StarCrafts, you're like, oh, we're done, right? Isn't this another StarCraft 2? Like,
yeah. All right, Henry, curious, I'm at
number four!
Beautiful. Sephiroth from Final Fantasy VII. I mean,
Sephiroth!
From Final Fantasy VII.
Sephiroth!
Sephiroth!
All right, so Sephiroth was a good guy at one time. He was the elite fighter from Shinra's soldier program.
Soldier
first class.
Boy.
He rides first class.
Soldier Boy.
He told them all.
he said, "Now why me, you?"
But I mean, before he was a bad, God damn it! Before he was a bad guy, though, he was just like a really boring dude that you know, a typical 20-something obsessed with leather,
like yourself.
Yes, a typical 20. I have a huge obsession with leather right now in this particular moment.
You're wearing some real tight pants, right?
And
we're all kind of uncomfortable about it.
Anyways, he was a little boring. Not much personality there. He's, of course, a really amazing fighter, has some cool sword skills.
He's just emotionless, right?
But basically. Yeah, he's just like a bland dude. Mm-hmm. Then he fucking loses his shit because he this is a really weird thing, and Ashley and I and somebody else, Lucas maybe? I don't
Not
know.
Me.
Thomas maybe?
But
we're talking
Thomas.
About Final Fantasy games and how they all have really silly plots, but how 7 is still the best.
You said that.
And anyways, one of my favorite parts, though, so Sephiroth loses his mind because he finds out he was a biological experiment in which he, as a fetus, was injected with the genes of a 2,000-year-old space alien. Now, because that space alien 2,000 years ago was obsessed with destroying the world, he's like, sort of, she's my mom. Mm-hmm.
Mama?
And because she wanted to destroy the world, now I want to destroy the world.
Totally logical.
Yeah, so he kind of just snaps. Mostly out of anger, and then like embraces
confusion.
This thing.
Really,
and that's why one of the cool things about him though is while you're playing throughout the game, he you know that projection appears and messes with you, and you get the sense like, oh man, this guy's a total badass. He's unbeatable, and you're always just fighting like the Genova clones or whatever the hell.
And then I really disliked in Advent Children those like. Three douches who are like, hey, we're also kind of Sephiroth. And then,
exactly.
And then they have kind of a cool fight, and you're like, well, this is enough. They don't need to bring back Sephiroth. Sephiroth's like,
nope.
No, the fans would not. Like, Sephiroth may as well just talk to this camera and just be like, the fans would not accept me not being in here, so I got brought back. I'm going to fight you.
I still to this day have zero idea what Advent Children is about or why anything is happening.
But
in
it's
that.
Awesome.
But it's fun to watch. It's all about the spectacle. I don't care. Well, if you know, do you know,
fine.
Do you know how, what's happening in that show?
Not really.
Oh,
I was just
I'm
going
sorry,
to
then.
Say.
I thought what you were going to say. I deeply
why,
apologize.
Right?
That was really fucking
well,
rude.
Well, that film expects you to know all the intricacies of Final Fantasy VII's plot. You're like, oh, you remember everything about Final Fantasy VII, right? Like, who's the boss of Shinra? These two guys, like, where everybody left, like, everybody's relationships. You remember all that, right?
Ashley?
And I was going to say that I wrote a feature about, like, stuff where you really have to read these additional background material to get it, and Advent Children was one of those things because they have an entire series of short stories that you have to read to understand.
Boy,
it.
Did I misread that one. I thought what you were going to say was, let me explain all the details of what happened in Advent Children.
I don't know either. God, it was so
all right.
badly put
I
together.
Apologize profusely. That was such a dick move to say that.
Good.
Sephiroth's really cool once he turns
you're right,
evil.
Sephiroth's a really cool bad guy.
He's got that
cool
one sword. Wing.
He's got one wing.
He's got a big sword.
Kane like could have been on this list. Kane of Final Fantasy IV, but he's cooler.
Sephiroth's
cooler.
Kane was really cool, though. All right.
Number three.
So good.
Number.
People aren't seeing the physicality of me moving my
it's
elbows.
Good.
They're hearing
the jolly
it's
kind of
like how, well, it's like how Popeye like swings his arm back. Popeye the Sailor Man.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Number three, Artorias the Abyss Walker from Dark Souls.
This is your boy.
Now, the really shitty part about this guy is that he's only in the DLC. Like, you hear about him a ton, and there's all this build-up to his character. You hear about how he and his companion Sif, the Great Grey Wolf, who is one of my favorite boss fights himself in Dark Souls.
He's totally cool.
The two of them, like, traversed the Abyss, right? They had this special item that let them fight against the corruptive force of that element. I don't know what you would call it.
The Dark Wraiths.
And so he was a hunter of the Dark Wraiths, which is awesome. And he looked really cool. And they went down to save this lost city. Only some shit happened.
They got overrun. Then the Dark Wraiths took over, and they're like trapped. And Artorias sacrificed himself to save his wolf friend.
Yeah. Which is really cool.
Real nice.
Yeah.
So he's a stand-up guy.
Yeah, and you hear about all this. You know, Dark Souls, the way it tells its lore is through, like, item descriptions and things like that. So you hear all about this just from these items you pick up, and you find pieces of, like, I don't know. There's plenty of the
You find his ring. You find – you could get his weapons, I think, before the DLC, maybe, I think.
I don't remember.
I don't even remember. But like, they don't even talk about him. He's just like little descriptions.
Yeah. So you have this idea of who he is in your head. Then you fight him in the Artorias DLC, and it is not only the best boss fight Dark Souls has to offer – it is also a really tragic look at this fallen character, because you're very aware that he was once a great hero. But to see him now, like, seething with corruption, you can see the actual corruption, like, physically leaking out of his body.
Yeah, and it, like, splooges all over the floor.
He does.
And he's got, like, this broken arm that's just dangling. That's his shield arm.
Yeah.
And he saved his wolf friend, he put his shield down and it protected his wolf friend.
But the force was so strong that it shattered one of his arms. Yeah,
so there'd be no beating him if he had two arms. Certainly not. A one-armed man.
But he's just like, it's really depressing because he doesn't like really talk or anything, but you do see him and he does scream out a lot and like these anguished, tormented things. And it's like, I guess it's like really difficult to articulate why he is such a memorable villain.
It's the buildup of him.
Yeah.
It's the buildup.
And that's why I gotta kill you.
It's like a respect kind of thing, I think, for him.
Yeah.
And so, when he finally
recognizes game.
When game does recognize game,
and when you finally finish him, you're just like, "Wow, that was an incredibly awesome fight."
Set him free,
and it's just like more so than any other character in that game.
They have yet to top it. Is what you're saying.
Untoppable.
Number two. I'm really getting into this.
Yeah, you're doing
I might have to record
job.
These. They can be the new
numbers. We should just do these separate.
Number two, Wheatley from Portal 2.
Wheatley's
actually very funny at the start. When you first meet him, like, he's hilarious. Like, I love he's just a moron who can't do anything right. And there's that awesome scene where he's like, oh, I know the passcode for this thing, but you got to turn around. And you're like, okay. And then finally, if you stop looking at him, you're like, smash, window smash. He's like, oh, I opened it. He just broke the window. And opened the door.
I mean, it's not like that changes, though. When he becomes a bad guy, he's still completely useless.
But
he just has control over everything.
Yeah, well, I think what I like about him more as a villain is the fact that it really, really serves to underline just his moronic capabilities. You know? Mm-hmm. Like, of course, you recognize that he's a bumbling kind of idiot. AI, but as soon as he's got all that power, he's even more hilarious because of it. Because he genuinely is trying to, like, you know, he wants to be seen as an equal to GLaDOS in this way, and he wants to test you and be as clever as she is, and he just fails at it miserably.
I do love, there's this one moment, it was such a good one, when he first gets plugged into the machine, and you're in the elevator and it starts going up and he's like messing around with everything and I just get this really bad feeling. I'm like, something's not right. And then he turns around and he's like, you don't have to leave right now, and pulls the elevator back down. I'm like, no!
Well, when that ending comes, like, I was thinking, boy, this is almost too early for the ending. I don't know. And they're like, oh, this is the halfway point, you find out. And then when you get into his test chambers, he's like, yeah, hey, these are my test chambers. Walk through that door. Yeah, you saw that. Okay, walk through this next door. Now, that didn't feel as good. I guess I have to make it challenging.
That was also creepy, too. Like, I know it was supposed to be, like, a kind of a drug thing. That's why he was like, yes, but it did not come off like that. It was like, oh, I am so uncomfortable with you. How much you're enjoying this.
And that Stephen Merchant was so good at playing the character as first just a bumbling idiot, and then as a bumbling idiot who also is like, I really want to kill you now for some reason. I don't know why, but I kind of got to do it. And it feels good too. And there's the achievement. One of the achievement ones is where he, like, it's just supposed to be a chase scene where you're not supposed to fall in this hole, but he's like, could you fall in this hole, please? Please. And, like, you just walk away, but you can turn back and come back. He's like, oh, you came back. Well, yeah, you can just jump in that hole. That'd be great.
Have you ever listened long enough to hear his whole speech?
Yeah.
He says something like, oh, what do girls like? There's a boy band down there and some ponies, and the boy band hasn't seen a woman for, like, decades. So, you know, you should jump down there.
That's funny. Which leads us to
number one.
Wow, the falsetto is just like, ooh, I have chills. Number one, Arthas Menethil, also known as the Lich King from Warcraft.
Holy smokes.
He's definitely a lot better known as the Lich King. I'm like, who? Oh, that guy.
Yeah, I think, well, you know.
Arthas. I know him by Arthas.
No, I think I liked Arthas in Warcraft 3 when you play through his storyline and you get to, I think one of the reasons he is one of the best fallen heroes is because you see that complete transformation so thoroughly.
Mm-hmm. And you start with him, right?
Yeah, like, you start playing as him. So you get right away, you know, okay, he's the Prince of Lordaeron. He's a really cocky young buck looking to impress the Paladin Order.
He's the first hero of the hero mode in the game, too, like in the new hero unit. And his campaign is just a complete, like, oh, the hero's journey. Started as this guy, became the king. Happy ending.
Yeah.
And then it just keeps going, and he makes compromise after compromise. And also, like, he has hubris. Like, he's just like, I can control Frostborn. I can do it.
Yeah. I mean, well, what sets this whole thing off is the fact that, right, the Undead Scourge is infecting the food supply of his kingdom, and they're turning his people into zombies. And so he's like, well, that's probably not good. I should figure out how to stop this.
So he smashes them in the head with a giant hammer.
And, like, I think he would be much less interesting to me if not for the fact that he actually starts snapping before he even touches a corrupting sword. You know, there's that moment at that Stratholm where he knows some people in the town have eaten this infected food, some have not. And so in his mind, he's like, there's only one way to do this. I have to quarantine the entire town. By quarantine, I mean murder everybody that's there.
Burn.
And so he goes and he's like telling, you know, his paladin overseer, the guy that's training him,
Uther.
And also Jaina Proudmoore, I forget who, she's like the wizard queen or something like that. I don't know what she is.
something.
But he tells the two, like, hey guys, help me murder all these townsfolk. And they're like,
what?
Yeah, buddy, you're taking this a little too far. Maybe we just wait. And he's like, no. And so you go and do this, and you're like, okay, for me, like, that's really important because it serves to illustrate, like, he's corruptible from the start as himself without the aid of these other demonic
that path,
he's a bad
guy.
Items
or artifacts.
He's a bad dude.
Well, just because you're a good war hero doesn't mean you're a good, like, governor or, like politician.
Yeah. Historical accuracy.
And so then, of course, he takes up Frostmourne, and he starts to go a little crazier because it's whispering. The Lich King is whispering to his mind through the hat. Then he goes, kills his dad, and he's like, ho, ho, ho. And then he retreats into Northrend and finally puts on the Lich King armor and fuses his soul with the Lich King and becomes it.
I like when he goes back to his king's throne, and then he kneels down before him like, hey, I'm back. And smiles, gets up, and
just shink.
Yeah, which is an awesome cinematic. It was really cool.
I think I watched that cinematic like 400 times when I was playing.
Those rose petals. When they
It's all good. And then, of course, as the Lich King, he's just so awesome. Like, of course, he looks really cool, but if you played the Wrath of the Lich King expansion in WoW, like, that, for me, that was by far my favorite expansion. like, the Ice Crown Citadel raid and the final encounter with Arthas where you finally destroy him. It was pretty, pretty badass. So
pretty great.
All right. So, yeah, that is the top seven heroes who were more interesting when they turned evil or whatever that.
Fallen heroes who became awesome villains. Very close.
All right. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to dive into the two big games of the week. Big time. And you're
going to do the whole thing.
Yeah. You'll hear more of that on the other side of this. So you'll hear break.
Radio Radar is brought to you in part by Audible.com, where you can download audiobooks like Extra Lives, Why Video Games Matter, and Ready Player One. Download a free audiobook today at audibletrial.com/gamesradar.
And we're back. Hi again, everybody.
Hello.
Whew.
Hi.
Yep. Fun
it's good
times.
To see you again.
Nice to take a break. So, yeah, quick preemptive thing. This is the last segment because we're not going to be doing a community segment. Just, there's
crazy week. Two crazy months. Sorry.
We will totally read your answers to last week's question on the next episode and this week's answers as well. Like, so sorry about that. But all right. Destiny. Boom. Let's do it.
Yes.
Who's playing it? What do they think?
I'm playing it. Lorenzo's playing it. Lucas is playing it. Ashley's playing it. You're actually the only one in the office not playing it.
Yeah,
that's so look,
accurate.
I've been very busy at the office this week. And then when I get home, I'm like, oh, I want to eat dinner. I want to go to the gym. And I want to go to sleep.
Get your pump
okay.
up.
That's good.
Sounds too healthy to me.
I'm glad that you're keeping up with it.
Doing adult stuff.
I'm trying to do 5 days a week at the gym, but this isn't about me.
Well, real quick, let's all give a round of applause to Henry. He's done an amazing job.
This for your
applause. Thank you.
He's fine.
You're looking great, Henry. You really are. Keep it up.
Thank you. Thanks. I appreciate that. I don't take praise well.
Well,
my head tells me like
you need to take it this time because I continue to grow in size.
If you decrease,
mm-hmm. and well, now I am
the gap is closing.
Yeah, I'm fucking fat. I got to do something about this.
But Destiny. Destiny.
Not fat in Destiny.
So yeah, we don't have a review up yet because really, like we couldn't even play it until the end
servers
of Monday.
Went live,
There was no chance to, like, it would not have been a serviceable review to you readers if we had done it. But have we got a lot of thoughts?
Unless an MMO is, like, broken, there's no point in reviewing it, like, in 2 days.
You can't get it early enough. Like, it's an MMO. And it is an MMO, right?
It is. Like, it is. Well, I think one thing I like about Destiny, which has nothing to do with its gameplay or anything like that, one thing I like that it's doing is streamlining a lot of what MMOs are into an experience that is in very few ways actually feels like playing one. Because when you think of an MMO, you think, okay, I have to spend hundreds of hours of my life grinding for marginal upgrades. And you're doing that in Destiny. That's what Destiny is.
It doesn't feel
like. But because it plays like a regular shooter, it just doesn't feel the same. So I do appreciate that it will, in theory, give a lot of people the experience that I really enjoy from MMOs without all the dedication, I think.
Minutia.
Yeah. Perfect for me.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, all the Halo-type shooting covers up all that?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that's how I feel, too. It's I've killed hundreds upon hundreds.
I just got the Grimoire.
So many.
I got the Grimoire card for killing, like, 1,500 enemies.
Yeah, I think I got the 1,000 for the Fallen. Yep. I'm like, damn, I killed that many. And I just love seeing their heads explode.
It's too good.
About yellow numbers.
All right, so let's talk about the shooting. Shooting's fun. I think it feels like Halo. And
it feels responsive.
Even when you're fighting enemies that have a shit ton of health, like some of the boss enemies and things like that, I think the encounters for me so far have been fun enough for where I'm not getting frustrated and I'm not feeling like, oh my Christ, I'm just sitting here holding this fucking button while this guy's health bar isn't even moving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, because that's how Defiance felt to me. Like, the shooting lacked, like, this feel that it was doing anything, whereas I don't get that same sense.
Yeah, the guns feel really good. I'm playing a hunter right now, and I have a sniper rifle that I like to bust out every once in a while. And, you know, every enemy has a critical point that you could shoot, and it'll, you know, you'll get critical hits for it. Like, the average enemy is in their head. There's some bosses where it would be, like, a little heart area or something, and when I shoot that thing, I'm just like, yes, you know, you get the big yellow number that comes up, 1,700 damage or whatever. I'm like, that was dope.
Well, I you know, and one of the mistakes I think I've made is I've played most of this game solo so far. I haven't really grouped up, and I honestly think their system for like grouping up with random people is way too big of a hassle. Like, I need to be able to activate it instantly and very seamlessly, whereas here I have to click a thing to bring up menu, then push the button to activate the menu, then select invite to fire team.
Then you get
then
loaded into
it pulls me out of the game into a sub menu to then rejoin the same exact game but under that guy's fire team.
Yeah,
so it's like
bizarre.
I guess maybe. I understand why that is, but it's too much.
Yeah.
And so as a result, I will not try and join up with random people because it's too much of a hassle, which disappoints me.
I generally just run around next to them. I'm like, all right, let's do this.
And it disappoints me because last night I spent a good chunk of time playing with my cousin and one of his friends, and we had an amazing time together. Like, it made it, even as a much higher level player, I was still earning my level specific rewards. I was still getting all right experience. And the challenge, it was still really challenging, which I thought was surprising because I expected to be one-shotting everything. I was like 6-7 levels above what they were doing.
Yeah, that I like that too, because they, even though you're that high a level, you're not way overpowered. You can't just run out into the fray and just like hold down the trigger, just start gunning down everybody with like a machine gun.
You're used to being Master Chief in that mold, and you're not a guy who's as good as Master
Chief. Well, I mean, like in the like in an MMO, you could go into like a as level 20, go into a level 2 zone and just stand there and not get killed. You can't really do that in Destiny. You'll still take all the damage that you're supposed to take.
There's a little variability. Like, yeah. Apparently Lucas and Anthony tried this one particular mission at like level 3 that I did at level 10, and it was like a level 7 mission, and I was just like, this is easy. And they're just like, oh my god.
I also like that you can bump up the difficulty if like I'm way over leveled for some story missions, so I can bump up the difficulty and get a hard mode version.
Right.
Which is really fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It makes bumps it up like 3 or 4 levels.
Well, so how's the story? Because like because in the Halo games in most games, but in Halo, you're experiencing the story as the main people who do everything.
So this is my biggest problem with the game. I think the story is absolute fucking balls. I think it's uninteresting. I think that the characters are entirely emotionless and expressionless. They like dribble off techno babble to you, and then they're like, we have to go kill these bad guys because they're bad, and then you do that. And then it's just like there's no... I want to like the world. I'm curious about what this traveler thing is and what that means and what it can do. I'm interested.
Cool.
Yeah,
the lore is really cool.
I'm interested in like the factions, like the Fallen and the Hive. Like, even though they are basically ripoffs of Halo stuff.
Whatever.
But I still am kind of curious. Like, what are their origins? Why are they doing these things? But every time a character opens its mouth to tell me anything, I'm just immediately bored.
Yeah.
And it's really frustrating because. Like, I, you know, in Halo, like, I liked those stories fine. I thought the banter between Cortana and Master Chief was fun enough to keep me like, oh, yeah, this is cool. Mm-hmm. And it never really got in the way, whereas that's not true here. Like, it often feels like it's actively getting in my face. You know, in something like Diablo 3, which I also think has a pretty ball story, you at least can just immediately skip through that stuff. You don't have to pay attention to it. And if even and the gameplay is fun enough to where it doesn't matter really. But here, it's like constantly like, here's another cutscene that's not fun to watch at all. And like, here are more really boring things to hear about that aren't shooting.
I think it's odd whenever your character talks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's that's a little weird.
It's the weirdest thing ever because it's like, oh, yeah, I forgot that he talks. Because
he never talks at any other point.
And it would be cool if it was, you know, you talked about the dynamic between Cortana and Master Chief. They talk to each other. Or, you know, Cortana, she at least said something that was interesting.
Yeah.
And, you know, whenever Chief said something, you were like, oh, cool, Chief's talking.
Yeah.
Chief like wasn't the most talkative character either, though. I mean.
But it was like, you know, he kind of had an impact where he was a man of few words, but he said things.
There are some reviews out there now, and they've been, you know, pretty low scores, I think, compared to what people were expecting. Mm-hmm. But reading a lot of their points, I don't feel like I disagree with anything that they're saying, because I'm having a lot of fun playing Destiny, so I don't want to discourage anybody from playing it. I'm really enjoying myself. But I think for a game that's been hyped for this long, that's been in development for this long, mm-hmm. for these things to be so sorely lacking, I'm just, I guess, genuinely surprised.
Right. Yeah, if you look at the timeline on this, like, I think we first heard of this game being published by Activision like 4 years ago, or at least over 3. Like, that's when they announced like 10-year deal to publish Destiny, to publish what would be Destiny.
Yeah.
And that Activision, like, the interesting deal is that Bungie owns it. Like, Activision just has the exclusive publishing rights for a decade, but it's Bungie's thing. Like, that's an incredible deal that Bungie got.
Yeah,
but, for real.
But because of that, at least I think that makes them more invested in the game. But like, we've had this much build up for so long that maybe it is like just the thing where it's so hyped and you've heard about for so long that if you run out of stuff to do, you're like, oh, this is it, or this is everywhere, or this is everything.
See, I don't even feel that way. I feel like even if this game hadn't been hyped for so long, just as a general shooter story, it is pretty bad.
Like, not
bad. It's just like, it just feels so empty, like so shallow.
Yeah, there's things too where you don't know what certain things are and you think you should. Like, you have access to the spin metal collectible things. You have access to weapon parts that you break down from weapons. And yeah, you have access to the different reputation things. And We need to make videos to explain what all these things are, and the game doesn't explain
it. It's a boon for our video.
I mean, it's great for us. I'm not.
Well, here's the funny thing. I totally agree with you, and I was talking with David Houghton, the guy that's reviewing it for GR.
Yeah.
And one of the things he was telling me is like, and I only know this because I happened upon it myself last night when I finally hit 19. Mm. Those things do get explained to you, but only once you hit the level which you actually start using them.
And that's the thing that's bizarre. It's like, just gate that off
yeah.
until, you know, let us play Halo for up to level 20, kill a bunch of dudes, and then say, hey, you're in an MMO, and here's all this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, but it's kind of like, what is this? And why is this here? And why do I collect ghosts? And what are grimoire cards?
I don't know what grimoire cards are.
They're achievements.
They're achievements. Yeah.
Seriously?
They're basically achievements. They can only view on
why can you only view them on Bungie.net?
You can't view it in the game.
That's ridiculous.
Fuck?
But I don't know about you. I've pretty much just been collecting the spin metal and the seeds.
That grows. Like plants.
I've just been collecting that because I like collecting crap. So that worked out for me.
I've been doing it under the assumption I'm going to need it.
Right, and that's what you end up doing, right? You're doing it under the assumption that it's going to be used later.
And
but
it is,
I only know that because I played an MMO before.
So I think my only, and I don't want to keep like making it sound like I don't like Destiny. But one other concern I have, I feel like I'm playing, the environments look too much the same. Like Earth looks like it does. Like, you know what I mean? Like all the moon areas look exactly the same. All the Venus areas look exactly the same. All the Earth areas look exactly the same. And so I feel like I have three levels in the entire game.
Right.
And then I also have we have three strike missions, three dungeons. For an MMO, that's typically not a good number to launch.
I'm sure we're going to get more.
If you're playing on PS4, you have a fourth that is exclusive to the PS4.
Ooh.
Damn.
But I also feel the same. I swear to God, there's only three PvP maps. I swear to God, that's true. I don't know for sure. But whenever I play, I'm like, oh, this one again.
I think there's four total.
Yeah, and it's just like, this is weird.
There should be more there.
There should be more. Like, there should be more for a standard shooter. There should be many more for an MMO.
I remember asking you, I was like, how many PvP maps are there? And I was expecting the answer to be 12. Like, because that's what Call of Duty does. And this is a PvP, like half the game is PvP. Like more than half the vendors that you see in the tower are selling PvP gear.
Yeah, almost all of them.
Yeah.
All right. So before we switch talk to Smash, let's at least real quick talk about why we're still playing this game if it sounds so boring.
I love the shit out of this game.
I love this game so much. I think it helps that I went into it for the first time in my life not giving a shit about the story. I'm like, I pretty much was like, oh, there's a story of some sort. Okay, fine. So it doesn't bother me that it barely exists.
Oh, man. Did you watch that Awoken cinematic?
I did.
That story sequence. Okay, for those listening, you watched that part where you go talk to the Awoken people about...
Oh, I haven't seen that part yet.
Yeah, okay. Well, you go visit the Awoken people, and they tell you a thing that you then go do. But watch that cinematic and tell me the story is not really boring.
See, it's funny because I'm to the part... First off, I'm like on Venus, and I go down the wrong path, and I walk up to this weird-looking tower. I'm like... Well, I can't actually approach it, so I guess I better go back where I came from. I go do a thing, and he's like, okay, now we need to go here. We go back to the tower I was just at. He's like, what is this crazy thing? I'm like, wow, that was very badly integrated. But the part that confused me was they're like, you need to go see the Awoken, these crazy people. And she's like, what? My character's like, what are the Awoken? I'm like, you are an Awoken. Oh, my God.
I chose that as the playable race.
Yeah.
Oh, crap. I got to think of one.
I think
bad
the gunplay is pretty strong. I'm liking the feel of the shooting. I think it does a good job of mixing MMO and traditional shooting, which is always my biggest concern whenever a company's like, we're going to make a shooter MMO. It's like,
I don't know.
But it feels pretty good. I like the class developments. I like that you get the two little subclasses you can swap between.
I just got my second one.
Yeah.
I think it kind of sucks that you have to start all over with zero skills with your second subclass.
Yeah, that is a little bit of a bummer.
Yeah.
I really like the progression because every time you get a skill, it's something that you could use or something that's really cool. And whenever you get an upgrade for a weapon, it's something that's like that changes the way you play a little bit. And just making this game is all about me making my dude look cool, and my ship look cool, and my little speeder bike look cool.
So
my,
exactly what people play MMOs for.
Right. My character right now definitely looks like a unicorn.
I was also concerned, too, and there's a video about endgame content on Destiny. Lucas and I recorded it today, so definitely check that out if you guys are curious about what the endgame's like.
You drop some knowledge.
But I think it's decent right now. There's the strike playlist, so you essentially queue up for continuous dungeon runs, and you can back out of the queue whenever you're done. There's the crew, the PvP stuff, and I found out that Bungie's already got like a weekly content or at least event schedule in place through October or
they're
November.
Really good at supporting their games long term. They really are.
Yeah, so you can look forward to at least something new happening every week, I think, with the game for now at least. Thank you. My suspicion is that what they'll do is probably two actual like expansion things that you pay money for a year, and then they'll support that in the meantime through like minor little content updates.
Well, I'm sticking to it until at least those two come out because I paid for it.
Yeah, I know. We bought that fancy collector's edition.
I got it with my PlayStation, so
you are quite in the next gen now, and you've had to keep your system at the office because you don't have stable internet at home, so you basically have been living at the office.
But kind of. Yeah. I was here until, it was funny, because I was on Lucas's fire team. He's like, I'm going to go to sleep because it's 1 in the morning. I'm like, I better drive home.
You got that Glacier White PS4 that, you know.
Pretty
it's
cool.
It's so beautiful. Yeah.
Annoyance. Go ahead.
Oh, well, I was going to wrap up our Destiny talk if you had one more thing.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say, like, you know, my personal disappointments aside, I am really having fun with the game.
This game is a lot of fun.
And I
want
to go home and play it immediately.
And then if anybody wants to play with me, come play with me.
So just to wrap up our Destiny thing, one word answer, yes or no, or one pick one or the other, and no, you don't get to say anything else. Like, vote. Titanfall versus Destiny, which is yours? Like, which are you doing?
I don't think anybody's going to pick Titanfall.
Nobody? So easy, yeah.
Destiny seems to be the winner here.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, don't even need to put it to a vote. All right. Well, then the other thing, which we'll talk about a little more briefly because our review's not up yet because we only just got the import version, but we played an extensive amount of a nearly finished English language version, Smash Brothers for 3DS, which is the real ass name of it, like Super Smash Brothers for 3DS.
Bad move. Bad move, Nintendo.
Why didn't they give it a name? Like,
they should have called it New Smash Brothers.
Yeah, or something.
But so we have
just Smash 4.
So yeah, the version we have like has all the modes, all like 34 characters, all the characters you start with, none of the 12 unlockables. Mm-hmm. Those are all out there if you want to read them. It's on the website. but all right, so Lucas, Lorenzo, and I, we've been playing it a good deal. Yeah. More so Lucas. And we've also captured a ton of video. Look at all the video footage on the site.
You should seriously go to our YouTube channel and just see. Even if you don't watch them all, which you should, should just see how many videos there are and how long each of them is.
All right, so your immediate impressions on playing it for real on the 3DS.
So Lorenzo said something that was really insightful to me today, which is like, he said, I didn't expect it to be a real Smash game. Like, I thought because this is on a handheld, it's just going to be like a janky version of what I really want to be playing, which is the Wii U version. Mm-hmm. But contrary to that belief, it is actually Smash.
It like, feels really good.
Oh, yeah.
It feels great to play. Once you get over, like, I'm using a thumbstick on a 3DS.
Yeah, that's circle pad is weird for a moment. But
it only takes like 3 rounds to. Yeah,
and I didn't even feel it. I was just like, this is Smash. This is great.
You
like,
were winning all over the place.
Yeah, Toon Link feels great. And, you know, the only thing I had to get used to was the A and B, X and Y buttons being in a different location than the GameCube.
Well, that's sizes.
That's why I've become an up jumper. I was not an up jumper. I was an X and Y jumper, but now I'm an up jumper, at least on 3DS.
But the sign that I knew this was a good game is when, like, I immediately felt like I want to just keep playing this. Like, I don't see a stopping point in the near future.
And continue playing you did.
Yes.
And all the new characters are really cool, too. I really like Mega Man. Mega Man's really, he's got all those
I think you
signature moves.
Him.
Yeah.
I can't figure him out.
He's a ranged dude. You just got to charge
pepper
that.
Away from
I'm not a ranged guy. That's my thing. And then Pac-Man, like, I'm warming up to Pac-Man too. Lucas, that's one of your favorites.
Yeah, he's stronger than I could ever imagine Pac-Man being.
And I really like Robin. Like Robin from Fire
Robin's
Emblem.
Robin's great.
Like,
all the spells are really cool. Little Mac is so fun.
I like was Batman. Really good with flipping off the world as Little Mac.
He's so fast. If you aren't looking where you're lunging, then it could be...
He's not
harrowing.
A great, he's a risky character, but it pays off if you got the finesse.
And Greninja's super good. All the new characters are cool, but there are definitely some standouts, and I'm on the path to unlocking the rest.
So
I've got Falco.
We have a Japanese 3DS, so you have purchased it. We have the Japanese version, so you're playing away at that. And the unlocks are very quickly. People have asked, are there secondary unlocks? And I don't know if people have discovered those yet, but... I don't know if they need him because it really is like every 10 matches you get a dude. Like, they're just being so giving. Like, compared to, I had read, I'd forgotten this, but in Brawl, if you beat 120 matches, you'd have two of the unlockable characters.
Yeah, you had to do the subspace emissary to get certain characters, to do all kinds of nonsense.
I wonder if that'll... I think maybe that's just because it's the handheld version. I wonder if that'll be a little bit more intense for the
And I'm hoping
Wii U
your unlocks just, like, transfer over to the Wii U version and just, like...
I don't know.
Look, I got them already. So. Don't make me play 100 matches in Wii U just to get the guy I've been playing as for 2 months.
Yeah.
I wish... I was worried about it, too, because when we've been at events... And it was a choice to play the Wii or the 3DS one. Like, I was like, why would I play the 3DS? I'd play around a 3DS. I'd be like, all right, cool. Can we go back to Wii U? This is more fun.
Maybe we're falling into Nintendo's hands here because this
be
is all we've got.
Would make, but you're settling
it feels
for what
fine
you
because we have no other option.
I mean, the HD visuals are better, too. Like, I want to see it in HD. But
it does look surprisingly good on 3DS.
It makes
the frame rate super clean. And the sprites look good with or without the outlines.
Wow. Yeah, and if you're a Club Nintendo Platinum member, you got a demo, an English language demo today. Otherwise, they're putting out one next week. And if you have a Japanese 3DS, just, learn to read a few things in Japanese, and you can download the game, too.
Or just stumble around.
Yeah, just stumble through it. Just stumble through it and put your credit card into something, something you don't totally understand. I'm sure it'll work.
Learn to read hi, and then
I did have
don't
to tell,
pick the other one.
I was just like, I can read hiragana. Like, that's EA. No. That's hi. Yes. Hit hi.
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 Hi. Hi.
I had a good time with it, too. I want to play it more. I wish we had four-player capability in the office. We only have three.
Soon.
But so we might, who knows, we might have an import review next week.
Yeah, I'm thinking for sure on next week.
Yeah, I would think so. And then hopefully we'll get our hands on the English language retail version, which I can't imagine being all that different other than just the text. And Sonic will say his dumb catchphrases in English instead of Japanese. But he doesn't say you're too slow anymore.
Gotta go fast.
Which is disappointing.
I think they probably just saw it got made fun of so much. They didn't want to do it.
Maybe they misinterpreted like the
love. They thought it was hate. And ice climbers are gone. No more ice climbers.
That's crazy to me that ice climbers aren't there anymore.
Yeah. But duck, I'm looking forward to that Duck Hunt Dogs.
I really
Is his name just Duck Hunt Dog?
It is literally Duck Hunt Dog. At least in Japanese, it is Duck Hunt Dog. Maybe in English, it's called Duck Hunt's Dog. But I feel like it would be Duck Hunt no Dogu. Or Duck Hunt no Inu for Japanese.
Yeah. I really want him to pull out a zapper and start zapping people.
Yeah.
That would be so cool.
One of his moves looked like he was kicking like a kerosene barrel at someone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, TNT is a barrel. Which
that's
really
very strange.
That's weird.
I hope he should have a clay pigeon tossing move, too, because with all the clay pigeons.
Or a Super Smash where he just laughs everybody off the stage.
But it rumbles and he just goes.
But yeah, you guys should totally, so we don't have the full Japanese version unlocked yet, but our YouTube is one of the only places you can see all the English language taunts for a lot of characters. Like, we've got it all, direct feed. Like, you can't get that from your Japanese streamers, can you?
But you can get it from youtube.com/gamesradar.
That's right. all right. Hey, did you guys want to talk quickly about our San Francisco Giants game? That was fun, right?
Yeah,
we went to
a Giants game, got some sweet toys from Todd McFarlane himself.
Yeah, it was, and we got to meet Todd McFarlane.
Physically handed
it. He handed it to you?
He handed it to...
I wish I had had the toy ahead of time. If I'd had the toy ahead of time, I could have had Todd McFarlane sign it. But Ashley and I got to interview him, and he was really nice.
Yeah, it was good. It was a
real
good
friendly guy for the head of a Giants corporation that makes everything, like all these different geek things. He was a really down-to-earth dude who just was like, I love baseball. I'm just glad to be here watching boys play. Like, and he threw out the first pitch. Like,
yeah, he threw the first pitch, and nobody knew who he was.
Yeah, that was like, one of the some sad guy. Moments that night where, like, they had the camera where they're like, to this one lucky row, they're getting signed toys of Assassin's Creed. And the guy they were handing it to was passing him down was like, this old dude who just, like, could not care. Like, he was like, what the fuck's
He's
this
like,
shit?
What is going on?
He actually tried to hand it back to her when he
He's
gave
like,
her
I don't want this.
He's like, what do you want to do? And she, like, you could see her being, like, pointing, like, hand it down to the road. He's just like, fine.
You rude bastard.
I guess he's baby toys. Blech.
And my favorite part, too, throughout the game, they'd have, like, random video game trivia, and they'd go up and ask somebody, like, what's this thing about this video game? And one of the ones was, like, the Green Hill Zone song. It was a very odd choice, I think.
Well, they didn't want a Nintendo one. I think they felt, my guess is that they felt a Mario theme would have been too obvious.
Yeah.
So they're like, all right, let's go with Sonic. The people still know Sonic. And they didn't. And they
I
weren't,
didn't.
They weren't expecting people to say Green Hill Zone. They were just like, look, it's a song from Sonic. Just say Sonic.
Yeah.
But the two girls who were up there were both just like, they were wearing, one was wearing like a Luigi mustache and the other a Wario mustache.
Uh-huh. It was funny.
So I bet they thought like, well, we'll pick these two because they're like gamers. They're going to know. And they like, they're clearly Nintendo fans, not Sega fans.
That was a bit of, I was sitting there, I'm like, no, no, don't, no.
Then they asked this one kid like, hey, kid, you like video games. What, according to surveys that we did from people coming into the baseball stadium, what are the Giant Stadium's five favorite video game characters? Yeah. And he, I was like, Mario. And then it showed up on the screen as the character's name as Super Mario, which was funny. It was like Mario, Link, which actually surprised me.
Yeah, that they knew.
Pac-Man.
Sonic.
And then the last one, I was like, what the hell's the last one going to be?
Master Chief.
He said Master Chief, and he had like three strikes, and he was like, nope, burr. And he said another one, and I was like, nope, burr. And he goes, Laura Croft. And they're like, yes! And I was like, Laura Croft?
And it was written Laura Croft, not Laura.
L-A-U-R-A.
The English are not going to be happy about that.
And also, Pac-Man had no hyphen in it.
Henry flipped it. They showed Pac-Man on the screen, and he's like, that's not how you say it.
I was also screaming Sonic. Like, I was like, I don't know where these people are in here, but like, hear me. It's like, Sonic.
I was screaming Pikachu. I was wrong. So
I should have went just for this.
Gamers Night was fun.
It was a good time.
And we got a cool exclusive Giants colored Assassin's Creed toy.
A cool garish toy that I love.
And he's got a helmet, a Giants helmet, and a baseball bat.
Yep.
It's so good. I'm like, yes.
Can he actually hold the baseball
yes,
bat?
Yes, I think so.
I haven't taken him out of the box, and I don't plan
for that
to. But
his box is too awesome. We can't take him
out
of the box.
That's
his
true.
Box is like half the art, so I'm not doing that. But I'm like, DLC, Unity DLC weapons? I think so.
A Giants bat.
I wonder if they did just get, like, Ubisoft is so close. Its main office is so close to the Giants.
Yeah, stadium. Like literally a block away.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure.
It's like
a block and a half.
Walking distance.
Yeah.
So yeah, you, Lorenzo and Lucas, you missed out.
You did.
What was I even doing that night?
Probably playing
Smash
Brothers.
Yeah, that's a good question.
You were playing Smash Brothers.
You were
we were live streaming. Like, yeah. We were live streaming for our live streaming audience.
Oh,
we skipped out because we are dedicated
we held down the
to our
L&L Industries.
We're dedicated to our 3:30 to 5 Wednesday stream.
Well, speaking of 5 o'clock, it is 5 o'clock, so we should end this episode. But I think somebody has something they need to say.
You make it sound so awkward.
Who could it be?
Well, it's been fun, guys, but I'm leaving.
Right.
Yeah.
Boo. Aww.
It's that's sad.
Where are you going?
Do you want to say where you're going?
Oh, I don't mind. Yeah. I'm also going to EA. To work with
smell
some
a conspiracy.
I'll be working on Access and Origin a bit, so should be
congratulations.
Fun.
Congratulations.
Nice.
Yay, Ryan. Yes.
I do want to say thank you to everybody, of course, for being so welcoming and so kind. I think whenever I look at some other video game website comment sections, it makes you cringe, but when you read ours, it's usually nice.
Yeah,
it's cool.
Good, yeah, so
it's cool people.
Had a lot of fun.
No, not as many jerks. I think we have very
even when they disagree with us, it's always very classy.
Mm. Yeah,
very few jerks on GamesRadar.com.
I wouldn't say always. Very
most of the time.
All right. Well, anyway.
But yeah, next week is my last week at GamesRadar. And
no, you'll be gone by Friday, so you won't. You can't be
yep,
part of the recording.
This will be my last podcast,
unless we do it on Thursday.
Thursday.
Well, that's
That'll
already
never
made the announcement. I
yeah,
don't
Thursday. I'll be just packing up my desk for 8 hours.
Yeah, it's also yeah. That's the thing.
You do have a lot of stuff
on somebody's last day. They don't actually. They're not. They can't really do anything. Though Cooper actually was working to the last minute on his last day
because like, well, his exit interview got pushed to like from noon to 6 p.m.
Well, mine's bright and early at 10:30 a.m. So.
Oh God. I don't know all which right. is worse.
Dump everything in a box. Peace.
Well, well, thank you very much for all your effort, Ryan. We're really going to miss you around
you
here.
You set us on a good course.
Yeah, I'll miss you all as well. But, I mean, I still live like 5 minutes away. So.
Yeah, you barbecue. Better host more barbecue.
I will, like, of course.
Yeah, need to do that.
Cook up some brats.
Right. Very good at it.
Well, so with a heavy heart, we're ending this episode. But be sure to check us out on our YouTube page, our weekly stream at 3:30 Pacific every Wednesday.
Yep.
Follow us on Twitter. If you follow us on Twitter, you would have known we streamed Smash Brothers at 2 p.m. today. Also, you missed out on that. And Facebook as well. Subscribe to this on iTunes. Give us a review. All those things. And until next time, Radio Radar out!